Okay. The Old Testament reading for Lent 4 is Numbers 21, 4 through 9. It's interesting. I think it's the Thrivent Pastor's Calendar book that actually has Nahum 21, 4 to 9. And I volunteered right away because I wanted to try to find the 21st chapter of Nahum. Okay. Well, with that, it's Numbers chapter 21. Right, verses 4 through 9. A familiar episode, the one of the bronze serpent. Okay, verse 4. Vayis'u mehor hahar derek yam suf lisvov et eretz edom. That's to the Athnach, so it's the first sort of main thought. They set out, kal imperfect while consecutive, third plural masculine, of nasa, and the they is the people of Israel. They set out from Mount Hor, the mountain Hor, which is located somewhere northeast of Kadesh Barnea, but its precise site apparently hasn't been located yet. Now, it's interesting, they set out, and there is no preposition for Derek Yam Suf, but I think that we need to sort of recognize they sort of set out on or journeyed on the way sort of along or by Yam Suf, the kind of the Red Sea sort of thing, or Reed Sea. Lisvov is Savav is of course geminate, which is kind of the worst possible Hebrew verb you can encounter. This one looks to be a kal infinitive construct, so to go around the land of Edom. So what they're trying to do is dodge the people of Edom. So they're heading around kind of a long route. The balance of the verse, va'titzar nefesh ha'am badarek. Titzar, or va'titzar, is another kal imperfect while consecutive. This time, sort of, it's going to be third singular feminine because it agrees with nefesh, a feminine noun. So, kind of the soul or the spirit of the people, something maybe along the lines of their, at this point, their attitude. The attitude of the people grew short, became short, which is to become impatient, in the way and more like against the way. In other words, they're becoming resistant to the way that they are going. So the spirit of the people, I'm going to say, became impatient with or against the path they were following. Verse 5, Vaydaber ha'am be'elohim u v'moshe. The people spoke against, woodenly, in or with God and in or with Moses, but here the preposition beth is more adversarial. So the people spoke against God and against Moses, and this is what they said: Lama hetlitunu mimitzrayim lamut ba midbar. And there's the Athnach that carries the next main thought: why have you brought, and note this is interesting, the form hetlitunu, first of all, is defective in that the mater letter vav doesn't occur between the tau and the nun, but this is reflective of a hifil perfect second plural masculine plus the first plural common pronoun or object suffix. And the thing is that the tem and ten ordinary endings of the perfect second plural masculine or second plural feminine both become two in adding object suffixes. So this is why have kind of the two of you, you all, God and Moses brought us up from Egypt, Mitzrayim, to die in the wilderness. Then the balance of the verse, Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim v'nafshenu katsa ba'lechem ha'kalokel. For there isn't any bread, and there isn't any water. Think about maybe your kids at some point in their life who said, Mom or Dad, there's nothing to do. There's nothing on television. There's nothing to eat in this house. The Israelites are complaining along those lines, saying that the particle ein is a non-existence particle, so there's no bread, there's no water. And our spirit, nafshenu, is sort of at an end, which is to say we're tired. Our spirit is tired against the bread, balechem, ha-kelokel. Kelokel is sort of worthless and not in an absolute sense, but regarded as worthless. So something that is contemptible or it's not what we want. So our spirit is tired of this worthless bread. Verse 6, Vayishlach Yahweh ba'am et ha-nechashim ha-sarafim. We'll pause there with the disjunctive accent in ha-sarafim. Yahweh sent... And this is a pial imperfect while consecutive third singular masculine of shalach. So there's sort of sending and sending. This one may sort of intensify things. He sends out against the people, ba'am, eight ha-nechashim, ha-seraphim, the serpents, the burning ones. So fiery, which is, I guess, akin at this point to poisonous snakes. Vayenashku et ha'am, and they bit, nashach, they bit the people. Vayamot am rav mi Yisrael, and many people, Am Rav, or much people, a significant number of people from Israel died. Verse 7, Vayavo Am El Moshe, Vayomaru, the people came to Moses and they said, Chatanu, we have sinned. Ki debarnu vayaweh vabak, because we have spoken against Yahweh and against you. Now they include a petition. Hith palel el Yahweh, pray. Hith palel is a hith pael imperative. The form hith palel actually serves a multiple functions. It's hith pael, perfect third singular masculine, hith pael, imperative singular masculine, hith pael, infinitive, absolute or construct. Here it's the imperative. Pray el Yahweh, pray to Yahweh, v'yaseir me aleinu et hanachash. An imperfect, this time with a simple conjunction, hithial imperfect, third singular masculine. So following the imperative, it takes on something of a modal character, kind of like purpose. Pray to Yahweh that he may or might turn from upon us, may aleinu, et hanachash, the serpent. Most English versions, I think, say serpents. You notice that the Hebrew form is singular. The thing is that sort of corporately or collectively, this is like one big plague. Vayet palel Moshe ba'ad ha'am. and Moses prayed. Yithpaleel, imperfect while consecutive, third singular masculine. Moses prayed in behalf, woodenly in up to, or until, as it were, the people, prayed in their behalf. Verse 8, Vayomer Yahweh el Moshe. Yahweh said to Moses, Asay lecha saraf, make for yourself. Hebrew, of course, doesn't have reflexive pronouns as such, so make to you a saraf, a burning thing. The aim is that this would be a snake-like figure. Vasim and Otho put it al nes, on a pole or post. Vahaya kol hanashuk vara'a Otho vachai. Okay, three little clauses here. First of all, vahaya kol nashuk. And it will come to pass, all or anyone, the nashuk one, a kal passive participle of nashak, any of the one who is bitten, so anyone who is bitten, and he will see it, the saraf that Moses puts on the nes, he will live, vachai. He may see it and live. Verse 9, Vaya'as Moshe nechash nechoshet. Moses made a serpent, a bronze one. Vayesimehu, and he put it, a kal imperfect vowel consecutive of seem, plus the third singular masculine object suffix, who, he put it al hanes, he put it on the post or pole. V'haya, and it came to pass, it happened, im nashak hanachash et ish, if the serpent bit a man, sort of anyone at this point, v'hibit el nachash hanachoshet, and he turned his eyes, looked to the bronze serpent, v'chai, he kind of would live, alive, is he or would he be? There's the translation of the text. This is what Jesus is referring to when he talks with Nicodemus and so forth. What we have is that a situation in which people rebel, and God becomes the problem for them by introducing the burning snakes in the camp. So that when he gives Moses the remedy to put a snake on a stick and have people look at it, that God is providing the solution or resolution for the problem of God. The complaint is against by the people is against God and against his servant Moses. God introduces the problem into the camp in terms of the serpents. The people acknowledge their sin, and he provides the way of restoration, which clearly points us in the direction of his ultimate putting Jesus on the cross, and anyone who looks on him believing will live. Any questions about the text itself?
Okay. One question.
Sure.
The fiery serpents, these seraphs,
right.
That's the same word that's in Isaiah 6.
Right. I guess it's important to understand that when you have something like saraf as a sort of verbal root, means sort of simply burn. to have something like seraphim is kind of loosely burning things. So, in one respect, it's where something which is sort of a participial sort of form, something that describes an entity like burning thing, takes on almost a technical form in terms of becoming a particular category of angel, seraphim versus cherubim. Another similar kind of thing would be, and perhaps more familiar to us, would be how shofet, the noun judge, is in form the same as the kal participle of the verbal root shafat. So a judging, one who judges is a judge, or a sofer, a scribe, is one who writes on sifarim, on scrolls, counts letters and stuff like that. So it's there are burning things and there are burning things, and this one's a bad one, and the ones in the throne room of God are the good ones. Okay, does that help? It just shows how it shows how certain words like that, they sort of have a lexical meaning, but that lexical meaning gets embedded into a context and, in a sense, sort of morphs, as it were, into something that is more precise to that location. And therefore, it's not like this is equivalent to burning angels or something like that, that somehow you transfer one contextual meaning into a different context. Does that sound right? Hermeneutician?
In offhand, can that be both transitive and intransitive? So burn like a fire.
Right.
Glowing gloriously, right, as opposed to burn like it stings when it touches you.
Right. Yeah, I didn't check that. I mean, the verb that we use in elementary, or you encounter in elementary Hebrew, ba'ar, is kind of that way. In the kal, it's intransitive. In the pal, it's transitive. You burn down the house, as opposed to burning. So I don't know. I didn't check that out to see whether this one runs the same way. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Greek guys couldn't figure out how to make that work. They just say sort of like the fatal snakes, or the killing snakes.
And maybe they feared the idea of glory. I mean, how do you...
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay. I see a little bit more of what you're saying in terms of burning, as in sort of actually on fire with flames and smoke and stuff.
Or like
that.
A bright light burns.
Yeah. Or a burning as in sort of a hot sensation on the skin.
Does the Septuagint distinguish, use the same...
No, it doesn't use the burning idea at all. They must not have found an appropriate way.
Well, it's interesting also, Nahash, serpent, and the Choshet, which is the word that gets translated bronze, is something which oftentimes sort of has been fired or burnished. So the interesting thing is how you have the Nahash, and that's the Genesis 3 animal too, serpent, but somehow that you have another word which uses the same group of consonants, but adjectivally has something that seems completely different. So the burning, burnished, bronze, Nahoshet versus Nahash, which just sort of seems...
Yeah, that's what I suspected. In Isaiah 6, they just use seraph. The word has become a sort of a technical term, transliterated right into Greek letters. So whether that actually meant anything to a Greek reader other than an angel would be a question.